Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance has been proclaiming the love of Jesus Christ. We seek to lift up Jesus, who brings light into a darkened world. Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance.
All my righteousness.
That's such a beautiful song sung by the late Stephen Heal, who passed away while preparing to do a solo concert in Lumberton, North Carolina, just a few years ago, left us too soon. And probably by the time you're listening to this program, my brother Larry Lohman will have stepped over from this side into the presence of Jesus. As I'm recording this program for you, he is in hospice care. But I would imagine by the time you listen to the program, he will be with Jesus, with his dad, and with his mom. And heaven gets sweeter when I think about that. So I wish you would remember our family during these days of saying goodbye to loved ones. Thank you so much for listening today. I hope the program will be a blessing. I'm going to play a sermon preached by my father titled When God Laughs. It's a very serious sermon. If you have an unsaved loved one, you might want to make this available to them. And you can go to our website, lohmanministries.org, and listen to the program there anytime. And I hope that you'll just pray that God will use it in a very special way. I am working these days in the month of September. This third weekend of the month of September, I'm in Coleman, Alabama at the Church of the Nazarene, September 15 to 17. And then next weekend, September 22 to 24, I'll be in Sunman, Indiana at the First Southern Baptist Church. And then we'll travel over to North Carolina, October 1 through 3 at Joyce Presbyterian Church in Stoneville, North Carolina. September 4 and 5, Sandy Ridge Presbyterian Church in Sandy Ridge, North Carolina. And then October 6 and 7 and 8 at the Wesleyan Church in Gold Hill, North Carolina. So that's October, Joyce Presbyterian Church 1, 2, and 3. October 4 and 5, Sandy Ridge Presbyterian Church. And then October 6, 7, and 8, Gold Hill Wesleyan Church. I covet your prayers. Father, thank you so much for your blessings in our lives. Thank you for your sustaining grace in days like this. Bless the program, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget to write to me. The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. It'll mean so much. You can also go to our website, lohmanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or PayPal tab there.
There is a balm in Gilead. Through the remaining verses of the first chapter of the book of Proverbs. And I call to your attention this evening the text that is found in verse 26. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. And I want to speak tonight for a while as the Spirit shall help us on what may seem to be tremendously an unusual subject. And that subject is simply the statement, when God laughs. I do not believe that through the bounds of Holy Writ has there ever been a sadder statement found on the pages of this book than the statement of my text this evening. It seems almost incredible for any of us to ever think the day will come when a great, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, loving, compassionate, merciful, all-wise Heavenly Father that sits on the throne tonight in the glory will ever reach the place out there in the tomorrows that His mercy will be turned into wrath and into laughter at the cries of those that seek Him in that day and yet shall not find Him. It's a little difficult for us to comprehend such a thing because we know that God has always been pictured in many areas as a God of infinite mercy, love, and compassion. But my friends, this evening, I'm sure that if we think it through and analyze the conditions that are prevalent all around about us these days, that the way that men are spurning the voice or the invitation of God, the way they are treating the God of mercy and love, the way they trample His blood under their feet and slam the door in His face, and ignore the wooings of the Holy Spirit, and if seemingly in a measure put God on the shelf and serve notice that if I need you, I'll call on you, but if I don't need you, I don't want to be disturbed with any kind of truth that will upset my feelings and that will disturb me in the way of lethargy and the way of sin and the way that I enjoy in the paths of the normal, natural life. The day is going to come that this God that has mercy tonight, His mercy is going to be turned into wrath and into judgment. And this passage says tonight that that time will come when they'll call on Me, but I will not answer them. They'll seek Me, but they'll not find Me. I'm going to laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your fear cometh. And the reason that He says this is because I called you, but you refused. I stretched out My hand, but no man regarded. And my friends, in this great audience tonight, I do not want to be unkind, and I'm not asking one person to cast away your confidence. I'd be the last person to unchristianize you. But dear friend, there's one thing certain and sure, that every person that's in this congregation tonight knows deep down in the secret chambers of your heart exactly how it is between you and the Lord. And if you're living in a state these days with a cloudy soul and a condemned conscience, then something needs to be done about the condition that prevails in your life. And you need to reach the place that you'll permit this God that loves you tonight and that's extending mercy to assist you in attending to that deficiency that is prevailing in your life that is causing this condemnation. But someone would ask the question, Why does these conditions exist? If you'll notice that this passage teaches us that I read in your hearing that God's command in this truth had been ignored. For you'll notice that he stated in this passage, I called you, but you refused. And he says, turn you at my reproof. I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. But we're living in a day that this command is being ignored. Not only did they ignore it in days that's past, but I do not believe there's ever been a day in the history of Christendom when this command is being ignored any more than it is now. Why does the fire not burn on the altar of men's souls these days as it one time did? It's simply because there have been the multiplicity of secular nominal things that have crowded into the life of the average professing Christian, and they reminisce down the memory lanes of time. They remember better days. They remember when the testimony was real and the shout of God was in their soul. They remember when there was a burning desire for spiritual things. But beloved, they look back tonight and see the day when something came across their pathway that blocked the channel of blessing and cut off that relationship between them and the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, there's an aching emptiness within their soul. There's an empty vacuum there. And oftentimes, when the truth would come just a little close and searching, some of those same people that used to know the way and that have long since, beloved, deterred from the main way and stepped out of the narrow road, when the truth has come just a little closer and searching, they've refused to turn at the reproof that was given. I know that we're living in a day, especially in the holiness movement, that because of our standards and because of our terminology and because the things that we contend for and the faith that we should contend for that was once delivered unto the saints, that there are many people that rise up in absolute rebellion when a preacher dares stand in the gap and blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in the holy mountain and reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering. But my friends, tonight, we've never needed a day and we've never lived in a day when we need the old-fashioned, unadulterated truth of God declared any more than we need it now. There needs to be an arousing, beloved, within our souls. There needs to be something that would shake us out of our lethargy and out of our unconcern and out of our indifference and out of the lukewarmness that seemingly is sapping all of our spiritual strength in these days. But when a preacher dares do that, there's some people that emphatically will rise up and say he's beside himself and he's just a little overboard and that he's gone off at a tangent. And beloved, some people will say that the preacher gets excited when he gets stirred about these things. I confess to you tonight, I'm tremendously stirred and tremendously disturbed over conditions that are prevailing now. And my friends, while I believe the church is the greatest institution on the face of this earth, yet I believe that there has been a number of people that have infiltrated the organized church and, sad to say, infiltrated many of our holiness churches tonight that are living, beloved, without any conscious knowledge that God exists within their soul and with no peace and no joy whatsoever within their heart. And you can preach on sobering certainties. You can talk about an inevitable eternity. You can preach on hell and the judgment and the second coming and the positiveness of death. And my friends, there are men and women that will ignore the truth of God. And this passage says tonight, to turn you at my reproof. What does he mean? When you're aware of the fact that there's sin in your life, he wants you to turn from that sin. He talks about turning from our sinful thoughts. Every person in this congregation knows full well that the book teaches us, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And my friends, tonight, when your heart is not in tune with God and your heart has become overwhelmed with the secular nominal things of this life, and your life has become affected and polluted with the beggarly things of this world, then I think it's time that we listen to the voice of God and the truth of God, and let this truth get hold of us until we'll turn away from evil thoughts and those things that condemn the soul and those things that keep us from having or being in touch with God. Turn from your sinful deeds and your sinful ways. The book says there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way, are the ways of death. The book also teaches us that there is nothing hid that shall not be revealed, and nothing covered that shall not be uncovered. Dear friend, in this congregation, this Saturday evening, if there's something that condemns your soul, if there's something hid away in the secret crevices of your life that you know about tonight, my friends, it's blocked your relationship with God and robbed you of your testimony. And this evening, dear friend, you live under constant condemnation. Better that you'd ask God to turn the x-ray of heaven upon your soul and the white lights of his ineffable purity, and let you see yourself in the light of truth as God sees you. Because mark it well, you may not kneel at my altar or the altars of these wonderful preachers in this camp meeting, but there's coming a day when the record's going to reveal in the skies, and in that day you'd give three worlds like this to have a chance to get back in an old-fashioned camp meeting and have somebody to pray with you and a place to pray where you could get the things settled within your soul. Turn from your sinful deeds and your ways, and my friends, the things that condemn the heart, he knows exactly how you're living tonight. But you say, Mr. Lohman, I've successfully been able to go on for a number of years like this, and so far I am able to continue my profession. Dear friend, what good is that profession going to do you when the breathing gets short, and when, beloved, you come face to face with the black nights of another world, with an aching void within your soul? Because this evening, the only way that you can face an inevitable eternity and the black nights of another world is to know beyond any doubt that the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to your soul, and you've done with the sin business. And when the truth comes close and searching, and when the reproof comes to you, if you want to know God in all of his fullness, there absolutely will not be any ignoring of the reproof of God. He says, turn you at my reproof. And there are lots of folks you can preach on certain things, and they'll go along with you as long as you keep them up here in the area, beloved, where it doesn't have a tendency to make them think about things that disturb the soul. But brother, some of those same people, when you come right down, and if you'll pardon the terminology, put the plow in just a little deep, and beloved, dig around the secret furrows of the heart, there's some folks, beloved, that immediately will evade the truth and push it to one side and stay out of the meetings, and brother, hope that the preachers will soon get that all behind them and then slip in and sit down on the sideline and not be disturbed about the way they live. I hope, trust, and pray to God that God will help we preachers, brother, sister, to have such insight to truth these days that if any of you are living like that, that you'll have the most miserable days on this campground you've ever had in all of your life. And I pray that food will taste bad, and beds will lay hard, and sleep will flee from your eyesight, because we never needed an old-fashioned heaven-born, God-sent Holy Ghost, blood-bought Sinai revival any more than we need it now. And it has to start among men and women that are wrapped up in lethargy, and that evade the reproof of God, and evade the truth of God. Because mark it well, beloved, heaven and earth may pass away, but he says, my word shall not pass away. And this word's going to judge us in eternity. God knows the way you're living tonight. He knows the way you conduct yourself. He knows those attitudes and those disposition dispositions that are not conducive to Christian influence and Christian victory and Christian testimony. And my friends, it disturbs me when I see so many people feeling that they can cover it over with somewhat of a sham and with a profession of religion.
Our time has come and gone for this edition of The Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I do hope you'll take a few minutes to write us that letter of support so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and you can give through the PayPal tab or the Venmo tab on the website. I do hope you'll find a place to worship this weekend. In the state of Illinois, I know you would be welcome at the Church of the Nazarene in Murfreesboro and Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. And in the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point and Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, along with Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Flintwood Wesleyan Church, and Columbus Free Methodist Church. Till the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.